Public News Service Daily Newscast for June the 25th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. The three most populous states in the U.S. reporting record increases in new coronavirus cases, a concerning trend in the pandemic emerging across the country. That from CNN. Nationally, there were 3,400,720 new cases reported on Tuesday in the U.S., the third highest number of new cases reported in one day since the beginning of the pandemic. That according to Johns Hopkins University. Meantime, children's advocates are urging Colorado U.S. Senators Cory Gardner and Michael Bennett to move quickly to pass the COVID-19 relief package and to ensure it includes increased support for food assistance programs.
Ashley Wieland with Hunger Free Colorado says as the nation continues to grapple with the pandemic, nutrition programs are critical for meeting children's most fundamental needs.
So that we have the locations for them to pick up food as well as Pandemic EBT, which provides families dollars to buy food for their kids that right now aren't getting the food that they usually get in school.
Unemployment in Colorado reached a record high of more than 11%, and Whelan says it's time to increase benefits for SNAP, the program formerly known as food stamps, by 15%, as was done during the most recent recession, which saw some 40,000 Colorado children fall into poverty. Colorado could also see a 500,000 new people enroll in Medicaid this year because of the loss of employer-based coverage. I'm Eric Galatas.
And this story may have gotten lost in the sauce, but T-Mobile merged with Sprint a few months ago. It's already begging off of some of its promises, and that raises alarms with workers' advocates.
When the California Public Utilities Commission approved the merger in mid-April, T-Mobile promised to create 1,000 jobs in California and roll out a 5G network in 4 years. Now it's laying people off and says the 5G network will take at least 2 years longer, blaming COVID-19. Frank Arce with the Communications Workers of America says the company's pre-merger pitch was untrue.
It just was, to me, very much a bait and switch. You let us merge, we're going to bring so many jobs to California, especially in those neighborhoods where it's really needed.
The union, which does not represent T-Mobile Sprint workers, opposed the merger at the CPUC hearing in 2018 and predicted the merger would result in a loss of 30,000 jobs nationwide. I'm Suzanne Potter.
In its filing, the company said the COVID-19 crisis makes the imposition of a mandate to create additional jobs infeasible and unwarranted. The CPUC will consider the proposal, expected to issue a ruling sometime later this year. This is PNS. A new report finds 5 generations of Americans are family caregivers in 2020.
The study from the National Alliance for Caregiving and AARP finds the country has added 9.5 million caregivers since 2015, or 53 million in total. They span from the silent generation to Generation Z. Ruby Hutton-Pitts is the state director of AARP Oregon.
Caregivers are just the backbone of a system in our country that hardly gets the kind of credit that they deserve.
Hutton-Pitts says folks are living longer and prefer aging in their homes, surrounded by family members, friends, and neighbors. The report finds an increase in the number of caregiving young people. Millennials make up 23% of caregivers, and Generation Z makes up 6%. For Public News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
That survey also finds people spend an average of nearly 24 hours a week providing care. For now, Minnesota voters using absentee ballots will not need a witness for the August primaries. More on that from Mike Bowen.
Minnesota law requires people voting by mail to have another registered voter sign as a witness. But several groups contend that requirement should be lifted because of health risks associated with the pandemic. Jonathan Diaz is with the Campaign Legal Center, which is representing the League of Women Voters in a lawsuit challenging the statute.
For voters who don't have an eligible witness already in their household, the witness requirement basically forces them to choose between either interacting with somebody outside of their household and exposing themselves to the risk of COVID-19, or not voting at all.
A ruling from a separate lawsuit said the requirement should be lifted, and the Secretary of State plans to waive it this August because of that decision. However, in the League of Women Voters case, the judge declined to grant a consent decree that would ease such rules. The judge said the decree didn't match the level of concern raised by the plaintiffs.
Finally, Mary Sherman tells us forecasters continue to predict that the annual harmful algal bloom on Lake Erie will be smaller than the 2019 bloom.
The latest weekly early season projection from NOAA estimates on a scale of 1 to 10, a bloom with a severity between 3 and 5. Laura Johnson is director of the National Center for Water Quality Research at Heidelberg University, which releases the projection. She says that's a smaller bloom than others in recent years.
It's probably going to affect the areas that are affected no matter what, so that's going to be sort of that Maumee Bay area. But we don't expect it will have nearly the extent as what we saw in 2015 when it was taking up the whole Western Basin.
2019's bloom had a severity index of 7.3 and reached a maximum size of about 700 square miles.
The typical bloom season runs from July to October. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and we're listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.